Please greet those around you before you're seated this morning. Thank you, Joanne, for the prelude music, too. It was beautiful. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns. A couple things that I have down, not too much, but David Wallach, he's been in this three-year journey of cancer, and the last year and a half, I suppose, for sure, of active treatments, and so it's been, I had to stay more isolated because of that, but he had some wonderful news this last Monday up at Mayo Clinic, some final tests they had done and gave him the all clear and used the word. They said he's in deep remission. So we praise the Lord for that. All right, and Alicia Gramko's surgery went well. She's just recovering, probably pretty sore. She had right shoulder surgery, repair stuff done. Anything else? Over here on this side. Lee. Yeah. Prayer for safe travels. There has been a lot of bad accidents recently. There, south of Parkston, three young guys lost their lives. Yeah. Yeah. Brian.
It's his birthday, and Marvin's had a rough day.
Okay. All right. Jesse, what day is your birthday? Tomorrow. Jesse Gehring's birthday. Happy birthday. And prayers for Marvin Gehring. He's had a tough week. Okay, I'll come just a second, Allody. Anybody else over here? Okay, Allody. On Wednesday, that's exciting. Travis Gramko gets to come home this Wednesday. He's in the Navy full time, so glad he gets to be home for Christmas. That's wonderful. Hayden, or Grayson, sorry. All right. Happy birthday to Grayson Dangle. Tomorrow is his birthday. How old? 10. All right. Happy birthday to you, Grayson. Cindy? Okay. Yeah. Joanna Fergan and Mary Mettler's birthday were both this last Friday. Happy birthday to both of you. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we come and worship and magnify your name, and we thank you for the good news, exciting news of birthdays around this time of year, exciting news with David and Peg Wallach. We just rejoice with them, and thank you for bringing them through this 2-3 year journey, and we pray that things continue to go well for them. We know there's many others listed in our bulletin that are in that same battle in various stages. And we do pray for Marvin Gehring after a tough week. We pray for Kenny Winterstein and Lonnie Herbolt and this little girl, Willow May, and Jan Nebelstek, and some unspoken ones, Lord, that you know who they are. We lift all of these before your throne. We pray for strength through this journey. We pray for wisdom to the doctors as they treat them and watch over them and be with the family as this is a whole process together. We thank you for Alicia and her surgery this last week on her shoulder, that it went well, and as she's recovering now, we praise you for your power at work there. Lord, another unspoken one that I lift to you who's in the hospital and you know the details, and we just pray over that one and ask again, for your mighty, mighty power to be at work on that individual's life. From the top of the head to the soles of the feet, we thank you. Lord, for our nation, we continue to thank you for the work you are doing across this land, bringing healing to our land, bringing revival to our nation. We pray for this coming week, the forecast temperatures, very, very cold. We pray for the buses, as they have to be out We pray for the farmers, especially with the livestock. Give them wisdom on how to handle everything. Lord, for our highway department and just safety on the roads, we ask, Lord, that you just help people to take their time and use wisdom in traveling on sometimes difficult conditions. Thank you for our military, Lord, all that serve so faithfully. We praise you for each of them and all the names listed in our bulletin and thousands upon thousands more. We thank you for Travis. Pray that he will have a safe flight home this Wednesday from Virginia to be with family. We pray for Logan Schmidt, who will not be able to come home from the Navy this Christmas, but for Deb and family who are going to be traveling out there, just watch over and protect them. Thank you for these things and so much more, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before the offering time, yeah, Bridget and Barb, if you want to come, the song she's going to sing is Where's the Line to See Jesus? And I tell you, I heard this several years ago, and one time we were going to have it sung as a special, and the person got sick, and it's never happened, and it is. So thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Grandma Barb, for playing. We appreciate this.
Christmas time was approaching, snow is starting to fall, shoppers choosing their presents, people filling the mall, children waiting for Santa with excitement. Why don't we see you more? trump, well, I'll stand in line at his throne. Every knee shall bow down, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is
Beautiful, beautiful song. I want to read from Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. This is a prophecy about Jesus from the Old Testament. It says this, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness," and that's Jesus, "the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Father, we worship you with all of our hearts as we bring our gifts, our offerings into this storehouse. And Lord, we're here because we love you. And we're here because we're in that line to see you, Jesus, as our King and our Lord and our Savior. And what a blessing it is to celebrate you, your birth, your life, your second coming. So thank you. For this time, Lord, bless these gifts, multiply them for the work of your kingdom, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come for the Kingdom Kids time. Jump the bench.
Here we go. I'm going to tell you, okay? Good to see everybody here. Well, do you know when you were born, you were given something that is very important to you? It's something that you use right now, that you share with others. In fact, you'll use it all your life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What?
Jesus.
Right? We have Jesus, but something that you're given, right? We do have Jesus. Our mouth, what else? I'll just help you because we might not get it. Our name. You're given your name. No, your name. Your name. When you were born, your parents gave you a name, right? Now, sometimes people always say, I don't know who those kids are up there. So how about if I say, 1, 2, 3, you all tell them your name, okay? And then they'll know who you are, right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Did you get that all? That's what I thought. You did. Well, it's so special. Do you know that Jesus was given his name even before he was born? Who told Jesus, his parents, okay, who did God tell that this baby should be named Jesus? Who? Angel told who? Mary, and then? Joseph. Right. His name would be Jesus. And Jesus' name means he saves. So it wasn't Mary and Joseph's idea to name Jesus. It was God's idea. He's coming to save us from his sins. That's what his name means. Do you all know what your name means? Anybody in here? Well, I looked a couple of you fourth graders up. Okay. Trent, you know what your name means? Gushing water. In the original. Imagine that. Ivana, do you know what your name means? God is gracious. And you know, Joanna, your name means the same. It means the same. I didn't look up everybody's. Let's see, is Raylan up here? I don't see her. Oh, that's the other Raylan. You know what your name means, both Raylans? Little lamb. Isn't that neat? Well, you need to go home and ask your parents what your name means. And guess what? If they're not sure, guess what you can do? Google it, right? That's what I did on all these names. Well, those names mean something. And you know what? In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, God tells us that Jesus' name also means some other things. It says that he's our wonderful counselor. So that means even today, right today, if you need some advice, if you need some help with your problems, who can you ask? Jesus, right. Not only that, his name means Mighty God. He is mighty. He is greater than anybody else in the whole wide world. He rules. Also, it means everlasting Father. Did you know that Jesus was always there with God? He is God. He was always there. He didn't just come when he was a baby. He always was. He always will be. When we go to heaven, who are we going to see there? Not only that, his name means Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. He came to bring peace, so we would have peace with God, so one day we can go to heaven again. And on one of our famous ones, his name means Emmanuel. Do you know what that means?
God with us.
God with us. You know what's so exciting about that? Is that who's with us?
God
is always with us all the time. All day, all night, we just have to remind ourselves, hey, I'm not in this by myself. I'm not alone. God is with us, and he will help us with whatever we have to go through. And that's something to be excited about Christmas, all the things that Jesus is to us. All right, so let's pray, and then after that, we have a little gift to give you for Christmas. It's just a little activity book, okay? Leah's going to help me pass out. Leah, we'll have you pass out. You're going to get one. Okay, no, it's okay. I think we're going to just have her do it this way. The bigger kids go over to her, 7 and up, and the younger kids can come to me, okay? All right, let's pray first. Ready? Let's fold our hands, close our eyes. Lord, we love you so much. We're so excited again about this season we're in. We're so excited for you, Jesus. All the things you are to each one of us. You love us so much. Help us to always remember, God, that you are with us. You are with us. We don't have to face anything on our own. You will help us in every situation we're in. Help these boys and girls this week. We thank you for healing to all the bodies, those that are not well today, Father. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you're 7 or up to 11, come and get one of these.
The 7 or 11.
7 up. How you go on the other one?
I'm 7.
There, I gave you one.
I'm 4.
Okay, thank you, Anne. And by the way, the children and youth are supposed to be here by 6:30 on Saturday evening for the program. 6:30. The bell choir is going to come. Thank you, ladies. We were blessed on Thanksgiving Eve with the bells and blessed this morning. They put in a lot of practice time in the evenings to put that all together. Thank you, Cindy Herbold, for coordinating it all, and all the ladies for helping. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. All the sights and sounds of the Christmas season, it all is for you. It all proclaims you, Jesus, born in Bethlehem. All the prophecies fulfilled, which we are looking through. It's truly incredible, for your word is alive, and we love to learn and listen to your word. So I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Luke chapter 1, finishing that, starting in verse 67 today. We've been going through these hymns of praise in the Gospel of Luke. First, we looked at Elizabeth as she spoke out by the Holy Spirit of God. Then we spent two Sundays on Mary's hymn of praise. Today, we're going to be on Zechariah's song, starting in verse 67. So this is 57, I'm sorry, verse 57, yeah. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, yet as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen. God's word. So let's look at this here, focusing on Zechariah and his hymn of praise inspired by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he had been in silence, unable to speak for 9 months. 9 months. What was that? Why was it? I would say we could say it was actually a divine rebuke from God for his unbelief at what the angel Gabriel had told him. Because if we go back to chapter 1, we're in chapter 1, but verse 20 there of Luke, the angel Gabriel says to him, "And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens." In other words, when Elizabeth would give birth. "Why? Because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. 9 months. Can't imagine that, can we? 9 months to ponder, to pray, to meditate on the message that the angel Gabriel brought to him, to meditate on the Old Testament scriptures that were spoken to him. We all need times alone with the Lord. It's important to have those times. We live in such a noisy world, and we have some people just have to have noise around all the time. But we need those times of quiet. That's one thing I love about Christmas Eve, as we're coming to that night and we come to the high schoolers' part of that service, and it just gets still and the lights are off, and it's a beautiful time, isn't it? To wait and ponder. But when Zechariah's tongue was loosed, finally, after those 9 months, he out came the word of God and praises to him. That's the first thing that comes out of his mouth. And what did he learn during those 9 months? That's what I want to look through here this morning. Because the Holy Spirit was working in his life as he works in our life. Number one, okay, if you're filling in some blanks, here we go on your outline. Number one, God has come. God has come. The verse 67 of what we read when he started to prophesy. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come and has redeemed his people. Another translation, it says, for he has visited, he has come to visit his people. Well, you might think, well, so what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal about that is they had not had a visitation from God for the last 400 years. Israel had not. Imagine that. We've been a nation for what, we're 246 years old now. And we've had two great awakenings in the course of our history, speaking of revivals. And we're very due for another one, that's for sure, in this nation. We desperately need it. But 400 years, those are called the silent years, from the last prophet of the Old Testament, who was Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament, until John the Baptist, who lived under the Old Covenant, but we find him in the Gospels, okay? So those 400 years, that's part, as we light the Advent wreath, there's different meanings to this, but one meaning of the four candles on the outside is for each of those 100 silent years, as they waited for Messiah, the Messiah, to be born. That's a long time, and here we come to John the Baptist, who's going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. As Luke chapter 1, verse 17, the angel says to Zechariah there, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Why? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And again, do we need that today? We desperately need that today. Across our nation, across the world, we need a people prepared for the Lord's coming. God has always had a remnant of people, and he did at that time. There were the Pharisees, who most of them were so wrapped up in their traditions, they couldn't even recognize God himself in the flesh when Jesus came. But in the midst of it, there was always a group of people, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, who truly desired to know God, know him intimately, to know his word and to follow him and to live for him. So number one, God has come. Secondly, what? God has come to redeem us. Verse 67 again, listen. Zechariah says, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. 9 months earlier, Zechariah couldn't even believe the angel's message. He doubted it, right? That his wife would have a child. We've looked at this. We know they were both well advanced in years, beyond childbearing years. And Zechariah says to Gabriel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And so he is silent. You know, I heard a story one time of this a monk who entered a monastery, we'll say that. And in that place, they had to take a vow of silence, 5 years at a time. And so as he's in there, the first 5 years are done, and then the head of the place, you could say just one statement, and the guy says, "The food is terrible." So he stays in there, though, goes another 5 years, gets to say something, "My bed is way too hard." Goes another 5 years and says, "I want out of here." And the head guy over the place says, "Good, because you've done nothing but complain ever since you came." 9 months, though, here. After that 9 months, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and now he is confident in God's plan, and he's proclaiming the redemption that the Messiah would bring before Jesus was ever born. Because from when John the Baptist is born, then it's going to be 3 months later before Jesus is born. He has redeemed his people. Redeemed, what does that mean? It means to rescue at a high cost. To rescue and deliver from the bondage of sin and the penalty of God's violated law. That's what it is to redeem. And God spared no expense for our redemption. There's a verse in 1 Peter that says, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." Well, those were the two most valuable things they knew at that time. They couldn't do it. All the gold in the world couldn't do it. Couldn't purchase our salvation. All the silver can't purchase our salvation. But what? But with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without blemish or defect. So Zechariah, he, at that time, and most of the people of his day, as he's speaking this out by the Holy Spirit of God, I don't think he could have imagined that Jesus had to go to the cross. Most of them didn't understand that part of the Old Testament prophecies. They thought Messiah was coming to what? We talk about this a lot, to overthrow the Romans. That's what they thought. But there's many prophecies. Excuse me. We won't go into those today. In the Old Testament, many. But back to Luke 1, verse 74 and 75, it says this: "He came to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days." So God has come first. God has come to redeem us, to set us free from all the powers of the devil. And third, God has come to raise up a horn of salvation. What's that? A horn of salvation. That's verse 69 of chapter 1. Listen, Zechariah is still prophesying. Here he's about the Messiah. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Remember, he had to come through that lineage. He had to be born of the tribe of Judah. It had to happen that way. He had to be born in Bethlehem. No other way around it. Of the house of David, and as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, the Old Testament prophets, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. So what's the horn of salvation talking about there? It's certainly not a trombone or a trumpet or a tuba or whatever, a saxophone or whatever horns there are. No, this was the horn of an ox or a bull. Could have been the horn of a goat or a ram. It was a deadly weapon. So what in the Old Testament, the horn of salvation, naturally speaking, was a symbol of strength and power and victory. So how does that tie into Jesus? He is our horn of salvation. Well, he's all of that, isn't he? He's all powerful. And he gave us the victory at the cross. He defeated Satan, destroyed him completely. Colossians 2:15, it says, about Jesus having disarmed the powers and authorities. He, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them. Who's them? It's the devil and all his demonic forces, all his demon spirits. What did he do? Triumphing over them by the cross. He is our horn of salvation. And in him and in his name, we have victory in Jesus. He's given us authority, we know, to use his name in prayer, to use his name against Satan and the powers of darkness. He's given us that right. Psalm 18, verse 2, listen to this. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. And here we go. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's Psalms 18, 2. Right there. That'd be a good verse just to take in your own prayer time, your own devotion time, and turn that and just start praising the Lord. To make it to him. Lord, you are my rock and my fortress. Lord, you are my horn. You are the horn of my salvation. Thank you for the victory that you give me in Christ. Listen to verse 76 of Luke chapter 1. And picture this. Now he's prophesying over John the Baptist. You can just see him holding him in his arms at this point. And he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins." And so John the Baptist, Jesus said at one time in his adult life, in his ministry, that he was the greatest prophet who ever lived, as he spoke about John the Baptist. What a privilege to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And that's what he was. Fourth, that we see in this song of praise, not only is Jesus our horn of salvation, but he is the rising sun. Verse 78, chapter 1 of Luke. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun, that's Jesus, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. That's who he is, the rising sun. Isaiah 9:2 talked about Jesus like this when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." That was all of mankind. And the rest of those verses, of course, come, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Malachi 4, as I read at the offering, he's called the Son of Righteousness. Same thing as the rising sun. "For you who revere my name," God says, "the Son of Righteousness, Jesus, will rise with healing in his wings." We need healing first spiritually. A lot of people need healing in their physical bodies. People need healing emotionally, all kinds of areas, spiritually. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And here you go. "You will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." Is that a beautiful sight, guys with the livestock? See, I'm not going to demonstrate, okay? I know you want me to, but somebody else can. It's a beautiful sight, isn't it? I remember when we were at Timber Lake, and there was a couple times the one rancher from our church, and he'd asked me to go out with him, and he said, "You know, this is my favorite time of year when those calves are born." Maybe it speaks to all of you too. They're so clean, their faces are so pure, and they just go out and run and jump and kick and all around. One time there were some weak ones, and he had a flatbed pickup, and he says, "Okay, this is what I need you to do, Mike. You drive this truck, I'm sitting on the back, and I'm going to rope these calves so I can give them a shot." So I'm like, okay, how fast do you want me to go? As fast as you need to go. I said, well, I don't want you to fly off. I'm all right. I'm all right. So he's sitting there, and I'm tearing around this big old pasture in this truck, sometimes going round and round and round. Faster, faster. Okay. Finally, he caught the one of them, you know, roped it and gave it the shot. And the second one, I don't think we ever did catch that day. But anyway, I was probably not a very good driver, so I'm not applying for that job, in case you're wondering. Jesus is the rising sun, the sun of righteousness that breaks the spiritual darkness. Then, when he came, every age till present time, that's who he is. That's what he does. That's why the world needs Jesus. They need to know him. He came. He has come. That's amazing to think about. He has come to redeem us, to set us free. He has come to be our horn of salvation. One more verse, John 8:12. This is Jesus speaking now, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful promise. You know, until someone, we're blessed to grow up, most all of us anyway, in Christian homes and families, to be taught God's word from little on, that is an incredible advantage. Versus the other side, to those who don't have a clue about Jesus, to those who end up in bondages of all kind because the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his goal. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what he gives us. And that's who we celebrate. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for your plan of salvation, your great plan of redemption, for your amazing love that you would send your only begotten Son to this earth, to this world in which we live, to become and take upon flesh, fully God and fully man, to live among us, to be tempted in every way as we are, yet your word says without sin, so that he could take our place. We thank you as we stand in amazement of you every day, as our hearts are filled with worship, as we'll sing shortly, What Child Is This? And we ponder all that you came to do, Lord. Just fill us, I pray, each one of us today afresh with your Spirit. The Spirit of the living God, that we can live for you, that we can speak for you to those around us. Give us boldness to do so, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our closing hymn is number 281. 281, What Child Is This? Let's stand together as we sing. 281.
Silence.
Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The kids had their program practice before church today, so parents, remember 6:30 Saturday night. Service is at 7, 10:30 on Christmas Day. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music and all the others.